The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So good morning, everyone. And I was inspired today to have the theme be generosity. It's one of the cardinal virtues of Buddhism. And closely woven together with other virtues like compassion and generosity and loving kindness and even liberation. So I'd like to start with leading you through a little guided reflection. So I know you've just been meditating, but if you don't mind to close your eyes again. And maybe take a couple of deep breaths and settle in again. Settling back in. And breathing for a few moments here, just mindfully connecting to whatever sense of calm and interconnectedness that's available to you sitting here. So as you're sitting here, bring to mind, I'm going to ask you to use your memory to bring to mind some event, a particular event in your life. It doesn't have to be dramatic or special, but whatever comes to mind. And the event is some time when you were the recipient of an incidental act of generosity. Someone did something for you, gave you something. It was just a very small thing. It was just in passing, maybe, or it's... See if you can remember a particular time when you received an incidental act of generosity. Maybe remembering the time, the place, what it felt like for you. And... and what was it like for you to receive this act of incidental generosity? Small generosity. How did you respond? What did you think? What did you feel? So then take maybe a deep breath and let go of that. And then see if you can now remember an event, a time in your life, where you performed an incidental act of generosity. You did a small thing for someone. Gave something to someone. Did something for them, offered them something. If You can visualize the circumstance, maybe it helps, or just think about it, the time and the place. What was it like for you to perform an incidental act of generosity? How did you feel? What did you think? What happened to you in doing that? Take a deep breath and let go of that. And now, see if you can bring to mind some event, some time in your life when you were the recipient of a major act of generosity. It was a big deal for the person who did this for you, big deal for you to receive it. And maybe you can visualize the circumstance or think about the time and place. Then what was it like for you to receive this major act of generosity? How did you feel? What was your response? Taking a deep breath, letting go. And now bring to mind some time in your life where you performed a major act of generosity. It's a big deal for you and for the recipient, for you to give or act on this generosity. What was it like for you to perform this major act of generosity? How did you feel? How did your insides respond? What was it like for you? Taking a deep breath and letting go. And in the last couple of minutes of this little exercise, reflect on what it was like for you to do this exercise, what came up for you, and what it might teach you, what you might learn about your own experience of generosity and how it is for you, how you respond to it. Is there some lesson for you about yourself, about generosity? begin to end this little session, you can take a deep breath and get ready to open your eyes. So four forms of generosity. Incidental act of generosity that you're the recipient of, an incidental act of generosity that you're the giver in, a major act of generosity that you're the recipient of, and the major act of generosity you were the giver of. Four different things. So what I'd like to suggest next is that if you're up for it, that you form a little group of three or four people with the people right near you and share something about what came up for you in that exercise, what you learned, what it was like, what happened for you. But we only have a short time, so what this means is be careful you don't spend a lot of time telling the story. You know, because all of those were maybe stories, some event that happened to you. And some people it's fine, and some people find that they kind of process better in telling a story than other ways, but because of limited time, so everyone in the little group has the time to talk, see if you can be brief and not, maybe not even tell a story, but what came up, what you learn, what was the impact of that little exercise. And you don't have to share anything you don't want to share. And ideally, you'd go around the little group of three or four a few times in the time, so brief statements and go around and see what happens in that little container. And if you don't want to do that, you're welcome to just sit quietly and meditate until we come together for the rest of this talk. So won't you please, if you could do that. Thank you for doing that, whether you participated or not, that you were here. So as I said at the beginning, generosity is one of the cardinal virtues of Buddhism, both as a virtue because it expresses the goodness of our heart that gets more and more revealed as we practice, as we open up, as we become freer. And also, it's also seen as one of the primary or very important supports for the process of letting our goodness come out, of letting us becoming freer. The path of liberation is said to begin with generosity. And there's something to it because liberation has a lot to do with not holding on tight to something. And so when we give, we release what we have. And so as people say, it's very connected to this liberation thing. In the recent years, as many of you know, there's a whole movement of positive psychology where they study positive traits. And as with studies in compassion and things like that, there's also more and more studies on generosity. And in fact, the University of Notre Dame, is it in Illinois or Indiana, one of those places? Where? Indiana? Has a thing called the Science of Generosity Project. You can go on their website and see this, you know, they have articles and stuff. And so there's all these studies being made, and people have been doing studies for a long time. And one of the areas of a lot of studies has to do with generosity within religious groups in America. But one of the things they're coming up with is that people get a lot of benefits from being generous. And they say that people are healthier, both physically and psychologically, when they are generous. The people who are generous, they correlated to their that there's a strong sense of well-being. And they speculate a number of reasons for that. One is because there's a more positive personal feeling of oneself, positive regard or self-esteem that comes with being generous, doing good things. Another is that it's a way of feeling much more connected to other people. So that the act of generosity is a practice of connectedness, so that the heightened sense of connections supports all kinds of well-being, not just the psychological, but also physical. And then one of the reasons they think that generosity is healthy is they seem to think that generous people are more active. Maybe you have to do something to be generous, you know, except for writing a check, perhaps. It's good for your fingers, but... often people are generous, volunteering in all kinds of ways, and I'm impressed by how much volunteering there is in America. Tremendous amount. But there are other reasons as well, I think, that... and one of them is that... in terms of Buddhist practice, it's very important Buddhist practice to have a sense of a network or a community of people we're practicing it with. And so to feel that your practice is connected to the world, to the community of people around you in your city, in your town, your nation, whatever, is very good for the sake of practice, because it gives your practice a sense that it's not just for yourself, but it's also for the welfare of others as well. And I think that buoys and fuels practice quite nicely. There's a lot of self-learning that goes on in practicing generosity. Even if you don't want to be generous. Actually, you can't practice generosity. You can practice giving. Generosity, you know, what they say is generosity can never be an obligation. Because then it's not being generous. But giving can be an obligation. And the fact that it's an obligation sometimes or expected doesn't mean that it's wrong to do that. It just has a different dynamic in the heart. But you can practice giving as a way to awaken this quality of generosity. And so some people take on the practice of giving. And there's a lot of self-learning in that process. We learn, for example, that we don't want to give, that we're maybe stingy or afraid or greedy, or all kinds of things that come up in the context of it. And it's useful to bring those things to the forefront and understand ourselves better as a result. One of the nice things about generosity, I think, is that it's in the class of emotions which are connected to empathy or empathic concern for others. And from Buddhist terminology, I mean, when I was a new practitioner in the early years of my life, I used to talk about how the practice opened my heart. I felt much more open-hearted, felt much more connected, I felt more receptive, I could feel more fully the other people, their situation, their state of being. And if they suffered, I could feel that and I feel compassion. If they felt joy, I could feel that and I was delighted and buoyed by that. And this capacity for empathy is directly connected to compassion, it's connected to gratitude, connected to many part of these positive emotions that people feel. But it requires a certain kind of openness. And if you think about the opposite of generosity, most people think about things like stinginess and miserliness or fear. And all of those are movements of closing up. Stingy, you close up, you tighten up, you kind of resist. If you're afraid, it's also kind of protective, closing in feeling. And the movement of Buddhist practice is in the opposite direction, is to not be closed, not be tightened down, but rather to relax and open up. And kind of being the kind of the gesture of practice would be the chest is open, the arms are out wide, as opposed to crossing your arms in front of your chest and, you know, here you are, and no one's going to get in. But kind of available and open. And even at times when we're feeling sad or even depressed, it's possible to sit there with empathy and being very strong by sitting and being open as opposed to being closed. So this movement towards being open, receptive, sensitive, available to feel and sense the world around us is key to these the positive psychology of Buddhism, at least, of things like compassion and generosity. Another benefit that comes from generosity is that when it's done cleanly, when it's done as part of this empathic concern for others, just as with compassion, compassionate activity that's clean, that comes from empathic concern without any distress as part of it, tends to produce a sense of well-being in the compassionate one or well-being in the generous one, like a sense of lightness or joy or wholeness or connectedness or... ease or some kind of, it's kind of, I don't know exactly, maybe different people feel a different way, but something that's nourishing, satisfying to feel. And if it's giving that's obligatory, it's hard to feel that. But if it's giving that's inspired and flows from us, then we feel this nourishment that comes from it. And so some of these positive psychology studies, I don't know if I haven't heard it this kind of concisely said, but the concise kind of cliche would be, if you want to be happy, give. Dalai Lama says, if you want to be happy, be compassionate. But you know, compassion and giving are closely connected, because to act on your compassion is a form of generosity. And maybe some of the good feelings that come from being compassionate is not from the compassion per se, but the generous act that one's doing as a result of being compassionate, genuine concern for others. I don't know which comes first or how they what actually goes on in this inner ecology. But I've felt very warm, nourishing kind of feelings in myself, in my heart, in my chest, in just kind of spontaneously or not so spontaneously being generous, offering something to people. And I felt the opposite. I thought I was generous. But, you know, I left feeling, oh, maybe I shouldn't have, or why did I do that, or maybe it was the wrong time, or, maybe I didn't have to do it. And then I could feel the difference inside of me, because, you know, kind of a little more closed, resistant, hesitant, or something. But when I really kind of comes from me freely, then there's a kind of a nice feeling inside. The first times I started feeling this, I was quite surprised. I was kind of confused and kind of like, what? Why am I feeling so good? I thought I was helping them. it turns out I was helping myself as well. And this is one of the principles, I think, of at least some of schools of Buddhism, that self-help and other help, helping others and helping oneself, are closely intertwined, that there can't be one without the other. In fact, sometimes the idea is that when you really give completely, that there's no separation between the giver, the receiver, and the gift. That you as a giver kind of falls away, and that person as a recipient falls away. Just like it just kind of, maybe a little bit the way it's like for a young parent to offer something to their child. You know, it's just like a natural thing. You know, giver, receiver, just kind of part of the system. This is what happens. And that's that kind of freedom, that kind of intimacy and openness where we kind of disappear in the process, certain kind of disappearing, is one of the things that makes it very satisfying, this act of generosity. I think very meaningful and very closely are connected to what in Buddhism we call liberation. Liberation from self-preoccupation, self-constriction, self-concern even. And at the same time, the fact that generosity can do so much good to ourselves, rather than not thinking about that at all, saying I'm not supposed to have any concern for myself, but just give out of, you know, no self-concern. It actually is the opposite, is that to really care for yourself is also to be cognizant of how much we can benefit from the virtuous acts that we do, and allow ourselves to be nourished by that those benefits, to feel the joy, to feel the delight, to feel the openness, to feel the flow of whatever juices that flow inside of us when we're compassionate or generous. So the practice of generosity, if we can call it a practice, I think of it has a lot to do with what we do in meditation practice. That in meditation practice, we're trying to see clearly what's here for us, be present for what's here, and to cultivate an openness to what's here, a willingness to receive it, willingness to be present, whether it's difficult or whether it's wonderful, a kind of a willingness to open, willingness to yes, to even this, I'll be present for it, a willingness to kind of have an empathic concern even for oneself. Here, yes, this is what it's like to be a human being. And this yes, this openness, this willingness, this receptivity that we're cultivating over and over again. It's not just a matter of bearing down on the breath and being present, but it's more like, yes, I'm going to be with this breath in a receptive way. I'm going to be here in a way that opens me, not doesn't close me. That's the movement that supports generosity. And so rather than giving because you should give, one of the things we try to do in Buddhism is to come back to the state of being where giving seems much more of a natural thing to do. Or if we feel like we want to be generous, then the practice of generosity is to honor that or respect that feeling, even though there might be fear and resistance, and take a deep breath and open up and see if there's still, it still makes sense to give, if we can let go of some of that fear. Take a deep breath and let go and see if it makes sense to give when we've let go of our stinginess or our resistance and what goes on. What comes out of us when we are open, receptive? What comes out of us when we're relaxed, when we're no longer closed, no longer tight, no longer constricted? That's one of the great magics of this practice, the alchemy of the practice, the tremendous power. There's been so many times in my life where I have been in socially situations, social kind of interpersonal relationship with people, and I did not feel compassionate, I did not feel kind, I did friendly, I did not feel generous. How could that person have... And when I, you know, catch up to myself and see that what's going on, and then relax and try to open up and see if I can come from a different place. And if I can come to a place of exploring what's the generous thing to do here, what's the kind thing to do here, friendly thing, what's the compassionate thing here, and just kind of relax, it helps me relax around this person, relax but situation. And it's remarkable how much people change when I am more generous and compassionate and kind and friendly. I mean, I haven't changed at all, but they have changed. They're suddenly become so much nicer and better, and you know. And I think there's part of that alchemy, because and that's one of the benefits of generosity, being generous, is that if our generosity and compassion comes out of empathic tuning into other people, human beings have a strong empathic quality to their our hearts, our being. And so when we do something that's compassionate and generous to someone else and it's received well, by them, they're not just receiving the gift, but they're also receiving the joy or the ease or the openness of your generosity. And then they feel it, they benefit from it, and then you get the benefit in return because it bounces back. If they kind of feel, well, thank you, they smile and they relax, then you're the recipient of that. And I've noticed that, you know, the times I've been a little bit irritated or resentful or closed to people, if I do the inner work it takes to open up and I meet them genuinely, then with happy I'm see them, I'm present, they seem to light up. And when they light up, I light up. It's nice for me. And so it was worth the effort. And the other thing I've learned is that I can think much more clearly when I'm not grumpy or not resisting or irritated by people or something. And so I, you know, sometimes I'm slow to kind of catch up to myself, but okay, you know, I don't think this is useful to be this way. And so then, and over again, if I do the inner work to kind of open up, to let go and find another way, then I see so much more clearly what the situation is about, who the other person is, what's going on, and I seem to be able to know better what to do or how to be with people. Last thing I'll say is, I've learned that when I'm angry with someone, irritated with someone, I try not to act on it or do anything based on it, no decisions based on it, if I can do it, avoid having to, until I have a chance to be in their presence. And I try to go find the person to be in their presence, because I've learned that through a lot of life experience that my relationship to that person in my imagination is very different than my relationship to the person when I'm live with the person. And my imagination is not always realistic. I don't know about you, maybe you have perfectly pristine, perfect, you know, picture-perfect imaginations that captures the person perfectly that you're having an issue with, but not me. So I find that that if I can go and meet with a person, talk with a person, that then a whole different feeling about them arises for me. And then whatever I'm holding against them begins to soften, and then I can have a much more kind of productive process with them or connection with them. And it's a generous thing to be it's part of generosity, is willing to show up for difficult relationships. And not just show up, but show up in a way that's trying to, how can we go forward from here? How can we find our way in a good way with this situation as well? So if you want to be happy, one way is to be generous. If you want to have good relationships with people, be generous. If you want to strengthen your meditation practice, be generous. If you want to go on the fast track to liberation, be generous. If you want to help our society, be generous. Generosity is like this great thing. So that's what my thoughts for today. So we have a few minutes, a couple of minutes here, five minutes or so. If some of you would like to ask something or share something, make a comment, please do. And we'll use the mic if it's there.
Okay. So I find myself the last month and a half, I kind of left my job, and I've had people, you know, I got to lunch with somebody, and, you know, I have savings, I'm not like hurting for money, but they want to pay for the meal or something, and maybe not related to me leaving my job, I don't know. But remember one person in particular, she's like, can I pay for your meal, please? I'm like, okay, if you insist. And she's like, yeah, awesome, thanks. And so I felt really generous accepting her generosity. Great. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is an act of generosity to receive someone's generosity. And I remember once when I was offering a friend many years ago, I was leaving the country on a plane, going back home to Europe, and I offered to give her a ride to the airport, and she kept saying no. And I kind of said, I'll be happy to do it. You don't have to take a taxi or whatever. No. And I felt, wow. If she knew how good I felt about being generous and, you know, doing this for her, she would jump at the chance. But she didn't. It was clear. She thought it was going to be a bother for me, and it was the opposite. So it would have been generous for her to have accepted it.
Gail, I have a question or comment.
Yeah.
The one time that I have really had trouble with generosity is like when I'm in the city and see all these homeless people, and I'm never sure what to do about that. Somehow it doesn't seem like walking through the city with $50, ones in my pocket, you know, handing them out all the time would necessarily be helpful to them or to me, really, or to the society. So the way that I cope with that is plan on making donations to shelters and food kitchens and stuff like that. But maybe you have some other, or other people have other ideas, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that struggles with that issue when you're walking around.
I think it's good. It's good. Thank you for bringing that up. So with all things that we do, it should be mixed with wisdom. It should be included. And so generosity should be practiced with wisdom. There can be a naive or blind generosity. And so wisdom has a lot to do with understanding the context of the situation, the purpose of why we're going to be giving, and the consequences. And so if you take that into account, then you don't want to squelch your generous impulse, if that's what it is. But if you take into the wider context, where is that generosity best gone? Where is it best given to? And so it might not, in that situation, it might not be wisest to give it to the person, especially if the person goes and buys alcohol or something. Maybe it is wisest to give it to them, or maybe it's a different way that's wise. I've sometimes, people have asked me for money because they're hungry, and I didn't give them money, but I took them to a restaurant and bought them food. And because I wanted to make sure it went to a good food, and partly I wanted the human contact. I thought, you know, it's one thing to give money for food, it's another thing for the person to, sometimes people lack human contact and connectedness, and so I bought people food. Or perhaps it's wisest in some situations to support the local soup kitchen or support someone has a service to the homeless, because they can use that money more wisely than some of the homeless can. And also part of understanding the wisdom part is to also understand what makes your heart sing, what brings you joy. Because maybe it's slightly better to give to the person, but it makes you happier to give to the soup kitchen. And your joy in giving is considered very important in Buddhism. In fact, the Buddha said, someone asked the Buddha, who should we give to? And he said, wherever it brings you joy. And then somewhere else he said, you should only give if before, during, and after the giving you have joy. So, you know, it might be better for the the money's better spent for the person to give it directly, or maybe it's better giving it to the soup kitchen or this, you know, public service agency or something. They can use the money better, but it makes you happier to give to the person. So that's part of the context. You know, so considering all these things, and is the wisdom factor you have to take into account. And but the important thing is, I would suggest this in conclusion to your great question is that if you recognize a genuine impulse to be generous as opposed to an obligation to give, nourish that impulse. It doesn't mean that it has to go to the person, the homeless person, right? But nourish that generosity. Take time, open to it, and then use your wisdom to consider how it's best acted on. Maybe one more. Yes, and then we'll stop.
Hi. I'm not actually sure this is generosity, but I think of it as generosity. And there have been a couple times in my life where I've had like discussions that led into arguments. And then somebody wouldn't talk to me for a long time. And, you know, over time I would think, well, are they ever going to call me again? And I would think, well, somebody's got to be the generous one, so to speak. And it's so hard. That's the hardest generosity I have, is like when I'm somewhat angry or my feelings are hurt or something, to do the opening thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I can imagine. I know that for sure.
Is that generosity?
It could be, definitely. And you know, many difficult relationships are improved by acts of generosity. I've advised a lot of people who had difficulties with some in-law who wouldn't talk to them, or it was a very difficult kind of in-law kind of relationship. And I suggest next time you go visit your in-laws, be sure to bring a gift, do something, and also through your words. You're very simple, but be generous in your words. That was really great what you're doing, or compliment them or something. And I don't know if every time, but a good number of times when I've advised people to do that, they come back and say it's miraculous what happens. So, you know, one way to break the ice, maybe you don't call the person up, but you send them a card or you send them a little gift, and maybe that can break the ice and make it easier to call them afterwards. So, to be generous. It's a good thing. And there's no obligation to be generous. This talk is not supposed to be a heavy deal that now you should go out and be generous. There's no obligation to be generous. But it's a good idea. It has a lot of benefits. So hopefully you'll enjoy it. And so today there's tea, right, today? So it'd be lovely if you stay. Some of you, if we talk to you, you know, your fellow people here today. We don't get a chance for that very often. So you met some people. Maybe you want to continue the conversation, or continue the conversation, the theme, with other people, or something else. But you know, you're welcome to stay. And I hope you enjoy the morning and the week. Thank you.